Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and a very warm welcome to this edition of Vatican Weekend. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick and I'll be with you for the next half hour. In a few moments, I'll be shining the spotlight on Pope Francis's so-called State of the World customary annual address to the diplomatic corps accredited to the Holy See, bringing you interviews with some of the diplomats attending this event. They're the Holy See's Secretary for Relations with States, English Archbishop Paul Gallagher, the United States Ambassador to the Holy See, Kenneth Hackett, and Britain's Ambassador to the Holy See, Nigel Baker. I'll also be touching on a passage of Pope Francis's latest book by the title of The Name of God is Mercy, a passage relating to John Paul I. But first, as always at this time of week, I'd like to bring you a report on the weekly general audience of Pope Francis with pilgrims from across the world. Anne Schneibel has the story.
The audience, Pope Francis centered his catechesis on mercy as represented in the Bible. In the Old Testament, God reveals he is the God of mercy, the Pope said.
Iniziamo dall'Antico Testamento che ci prepara e ci conduce alla rivelazione piena di Gesù Cristo.
The Holy Father explained how the Hebrew word for mercy evokes the sort of tenderness shown by a mother for her child. In Scripture, the Pope said, the God of mercy is gracious, slow to anger, and abounds in steadfast love and faithfulness. Pope Francis concluded his catechesis by inviting the faithful during the Jubilee of Mercy to turn to God with all our heart, trusting in His mercy and grace, His infinite faithfulness and love. I'm Anne Schneibel.
Well, thanks there go to Anne Schneibel. Meanwhile, on Monday, 11th of January, Pope Francis delivered his so-called State of the World address to the diplomatic corps accredited to the Holy See. The encounter with the diplomats took place in the Vatican's Apostolic Palace. At the heart of Pope Francis's speech was the need to combat terrorism, promote peaceful coexistence among peoples and nations, and above all respond to the migration crisis in Europe and beyond. And in this Jubilee Year of Mercy, he urged the diplomats to help promote a new culture of dialogue, justice and peace. Following this encounter, the Holy See's Secretary for Relations with States, English Archbishop Paul Gallagher, who obviously attended this meeting, took the time to speak to Philip Hitchin and discuss some of the central themes of the Pope's message.
I think the Holy Father in this speech to the ambassadors accredited to the Holy See was wanting to make aware or reinforce the awareness of the Holy See of these events and what's going on in the world today, but at the same time to offer encouragement to the international community and to outline these sort of points of conflict or difficulties and problems and to encourage the international community to face up to these challenges, to work hard on them and to seek solutions for the good of humanity.
He has very strong words, doesn't he, to denounce what he calls the recent brutal terrorist attacks, and he insists strongly on the urgency of dialogue and cooperation with the Muslim world. This is notably in sharp contrast, of course, to those who are suggesting closing the doors to Muslims and stopping them from entering the US or indeed Europe. Do you think local bishops should perhaps be more vocal in also contrasting such attitudes of exclusion and getting this papal message through?
I think the Holy Father in making his remarks, was trying to point out the complexity of this problem. He's trying to say, yes, it is very serious. There are many things that we need to face up to and to encourage that dialogue with Islam. But it's also a dialogue amongst Muslims and a dialogue with their communities and amongst their communities and their leaders so that a true voice of Islam may be heard in the world. I think he's also saying that the situations in countries are different, but we have to, in Europe in particular, look for common solutions. The Pope said in one particular point that, it's one thing to make a decision in one country, but that has its effect on others. And so, therefore, he's trying to encourage Europe in particular to face up to its problems, to work together and to find The idea of integration is difficult, and one of the problems we've had in the migrant crisis has been that it is revealed that integration of many minorities, both ethnic, cultural, and religious, has not always been done well in Europe. And therefore, we've got to make new efforts in this sense. Again, he's certainly saying that Europe is up to this challenge, and he's trying to encourage people to seek for solutions. Because ultimately, he says, yes, the problems are very great, but there's a danger of reducing it to a problem and not seeing beyond the problem to the people. And that's always the Holy Father's line. He tries to peel off the problem and reveal the people underneath.
He has words of praise, doesn't he, for countries like Turkey, Greece, and especially Italy to save so many migrant lives here in the Mediterranean, and insisting, as you say, on this need for a Europe-wide policy to share the burden of welcoming those in need. How do you think this message will go down in countries, for example, like our own, the UK, that was quite slow to step up to taking responsibility, or indeed Eastern European countries, which are increasingly trying to shut the door?
Well, obviously the Pope was wanting to acknowledge the tremendous sacrifices that have been made, particularly in the Middle East itself, by Jordan and Lebanon, and then the countries who are really on the borders of this crisis, Turkey and Italy and Greece. And obviously the response is different in each country, according to the resources, according to the experience. But we do recognise that they have been making tremendous efforts, and the Pope's wanted to acknowledge that and to encourage that, particularly here in Italy, which is obviously so close to the Holy See. Although it's obviously migration is as controversial a theme here as it is elsewhere, at the same time, there have been great acts of compassion and bravery but shown by many, many Italians in facing up to this problem. There's, I think, again, the danger that the problem can exist within our heads a bit too much. And I think we're not underestimating, and the fact the Holy Father said in his speech that it is also the duty and responsibility of migrants and refugees to follow the laws of the country, to integrate themselves into the societies in which they found. But it's a two-way process, and I think that just simply closing the borders is, to some extent, just kicking the can down the road, and that somebody is going to face this problem. Now, we're not saying that the problem is easy or anything, although there are simple solutions to these things. That's why the Pope is encouraging a dialogue at every level and an exchange, and quite frankly, to seek, as I think the European institutions are doing their very level best to do so. But we have to be careful that the fear doesn't enter into our hearts, and that we don't, again, see beyond what is presented to us to the people who are there. Though we have the right and the duty to also to engage with those people and say, well, you're coming to our country, you have to understand what it is you're coming to, and you have to be prepared to make every effort to become part of our society.
The Pope also made some interesting comments about the cultural identity of Europe, didn't he, and the way that extremism finds fertile soil in the loss of religious identity. This is a direct challenge, really, to the secularists and humanists who perhaps see religion as the cause of conflict.
Yes, the Pope talks about a vacuum, doesn't he, in the European society. And I think that this is possibly something that we here at the Vatican see very clearly, that the ability of Europe to face two things which are challenging. These are challenging realities that we're facing. These are vast numbers of people coming. Maybe that we are ideally and religiously and spiritually weakened, and therefore our perception is that these challenges are not just challenges, but they're threats. And I think that is what the Holy Father is trying to say, that, well, maybe this is also an opportunity for Europe, European countries, and our societies that make those countries up to renew ourselves in that sense, spiritually, and in terms of what we believe and what we're we're living for. Whereas perhaps we have drifted somewhat in recent decades, and therefore we find ourselves not sufficiently self-assured in facing these new realities.
On a positive note, the Pope talks about recent achievements like the Iran nuclear deal or the Paris Climate Accord and the rapprochement between the US and Cuba. Now, we know that the Holy See had a hand in achieving that US-Cuba rapprochement, but I'm wondering where else can you point to, perhaps, that Vatican diplomacy has had a real impact on conflict resolution or the easing of political tensions recently?
Well, we obviously, through our diplomatic contacts with the ambassadors accredited here and the international institutions in which we participate in their works, we do try to support and sustain these efforts. In the case of, shall we say, also in the peace process in Colombia, we have had trying to make a discreet support of many people who are working for peace on both sides of the thing, including the community of Santa Egidio, which has been quite active in that. So we always take a softly approach, but at the same time we are always making the diplomatic corps here aware that we are following things, that we're supporting, that we're encouraging, and of course the Holy Father in various interventions and speeches in his Angelus addresses is often touching these issues, and therefore hopefully that encouragement again is of some use in these processes which are extremely demanding.
Looking ahead to the Pope's visit to Mexico next month, which he mentioned in this speech, is it true to say that, do you think, migration is likely to be one of the most important themes throughout that visit?
Well, whether it's one of the most important, it's certainly be a theme to which I think the Holy Father will come, because it's part of what Mexican society is about, their relationship with the United States, their relationship also with Central America, because it's Mexico is a country of transit for many Central Americans wanting to reach North America. I'm sure he will be touching on that. Again, it's a question of the Holy Father's desire to bring issues down to the fact that we're talking here about people, we're talking about children, we're talking about young people aspiring to improve their lives. These are not issues in the sense of ideas or problems. They are real people to whom which we morally and ethically have to give an appropriate moral response to the difficulties in which they find themselves, while at the same time supporting, I'm sure he's supporting every effort that that many of these countries are making to reduce migration from them and to reduce the terrible dangers to which migrants consistently expose themselves, the dangers of falling into the hands of traffickers, the dangers of these long journeys in very difficult conditions, and we all know that that takes a very high toll of migrants, both here in the Mediterranean, which we're familiar with, but also in Mexico and Central America. These are, you know, humanitarian realities to which we cannot close our eyes.
He strongly condemns the trafficking again, doesn't he? Something which he's called a crime against humanity.
Yes, he does. He renews his appeal, I think is the expression that he uses, to put an end to trafficking. Personally, I would say that, you know, that lots of international organisations denounce trafficking. We, the Church, denounce trafficking. But you don't really hear about many people being brought to justice because they traffic. And this is, I think, one of the issues that I think which the international community and individual countries need to face.
That was the Holy See's Secretary for Relations with States, English Archbishop Paul Gallagher. Among others present at this encounter was the United States Ambassador to the Holy See, Kenneth Hackett. He dropped by our studios here following Pope Francis's audience and spoke to Chris Altieri.
There was a real breadth to it, and it was indeed a tour of the world. He covered a lot of territory, as he usually does, I gather, at least the previous ones that I saw. But I think I can rightly say that migration was the overarching theme. He also talked about mercy being where his trips were grounded. He's ingrained that concept into how he goes about doing what he does as the Pope.
I think it's safe to say that it was a thematic speech.
Yes.
And one that centered on migration.
It is a focus, if you're sitting here in Europe, that is overwhelming. You can't ignore what's happening in Europe on the migration question. He noted the good work that Italy has done in saving lives and accommodating people, and I think it was kind of a kudo that he gave Italy in the midst of other countries that are having more difficulty in accepting people. So that was certainly one big thing. He did open up with, and I think this is part of the standard too, the agreements that the Holy See has signed, and he mentioned the one that was signed with the United States over tax issues, and that we were very proud of, that was highlighted in his remarks. And then he talked at one point about Philadelphia and the family and stresses that are on the family, all of which he's talked about previously. But it was good to highlight it in front of all these ambassadors, particularly those who are not resident in Rome.
What do you think political communities in general and listeners in the United States especially might be surprised to learn about how the church thinks about these problems? I'm thinking about, you know, specifically with regard to migration, managing the tension, not the contradiction, but the tension between, you know, protecting borders and protecting citizens and welcoming strangers and being the kind of open and welcoming society that we all want to be.
Everything is obviously grounded in the gospel messages. That is the touchstone or the jumping off point for any kind of issue, be it care of the earth, be it migration, be it poverty, sustainable development. It's all there with the gospel as the so-called platform from which to move. And not to get away from this diplomatic code, but I remember before the Laudato Si encyclical came out, people wanted the encyclical to take certain directions, to follow their particular viewpoints. And those people who were scientific or came out of the scientific community had, you know, really good, strong cases to be made, but they didn't see that this is going to be about gospel teaching. You know, you try to share that with some political people or scientific people, you know, well, he doesn't care about precise CO2 levels.
Do you think that there's anything that folks at home are going to have a hard time hearing here?
Once again, as he has done, he talked about exclusion. Last year, he went into great depth about kind of the throwaway society and individuals whose lives don't matter. He didn't say that, but he said how we treat certain people, the aged, the sickly, the mentally ill, the migrants. This year, he didn't get into depth there, but he did talk about people being pushed aside and poverty and exclusion. He's preaching all the time. He's not giving a State of the Union per se. He is preaching still, even though he covers, you know, conflicts in parts of Africa and Syria and the Middle East and elsewhere. He's still preaching.
That was the United States Ambassador to the Holy See, Kenneth Hackett, speaking to Chris Altieri. Also present at this encounter with Pope Francis was Britain's Ambassador to the Holy See, Nigel Baker, who in this phone interview spoke to Philippa Hitchin about his reactions to the encounter.
Can I ask you first, what for you were the most interesting points of the Pope's message to the diplomats?
The fact that he decided to dedicate, I think it's fair to say, the majority of his speech to the issue of migration. Not just looking at the problem, but he certainly identified the problem and effectively was identifying it as perhaps the principal problem that he regards facing the international community at the moment. But he also, in a very balanced way, recognized the difficulties being faced by transit countries, countries of provenance, and countries which are the destination of migrants, and also sought, you know, to propose solutions, recognizing the international community has been trying. He recognized that countries are stepping up to their responsibility, but saying that there needs to be more in terms of what he called the frank and respectful dialogue among all countries involved in the problem, origin, transit, and reception, for new boldness, creativity, new solutions. I was also really struck, actually, by something he said, actually quite near the beginning of his speech, where he reminded us that migration is not a new issue for us. You know, it's not something we should be surprised about. In fact, he talks about the Bible recounting the history of humanity on the move, which I thought was quite a strong and powerful phrase, and reminding us that, you know, migration issues are as old as people on the planet. But each time around, we need new solutions, new creativity, new energy. So that focus on migration for me was interesting. The second particular thing was, I mean, something that's not new from Holy See speeches on foreign policy or papal speeches on international issues, but his emphasis on search for peace as, in a sense, the prime function of Holy See diplomacy. He said, you know, the Holy See will never cease its efforts to enable the message of peace to be heard to the ends of the earth. And he talked about authentic practice of religion cannot fail to promote peace. And then he gave lots of examples from his own journeys, as if to say, you know, not only is this what we should be doing, but this is really what I have been doing in Africa, in Cuba and the United States, in visiting Bosnia and Sarajevo. In other words, you know, this isn't just compassion. This is practical compassion. This is, in a sense, mercy in the year of mercy in action.
Looking at the current refugee crisis, the migration crisis, it's fair to say that the UK, in terms of responsibility, was quite slow in comparison with countries like Germany, for example, in opening its doors to take in more migrants fleeing Syria in particular. How do you think the Pope's appeal will go down in London?
Well, I think there are a couple of things that I think would be welcomed enormously, actually, in London. One is the Pope's recognition of the complexity of the issue. You know, he said there is a need for mid-term and long-term planning, not limited to emergency responses. Of course, he said we need to respond to the immediate emergency. But he's been talking about integrating migrants, promoting the development of their countries of origin through policies inspired by solidarity. You know, which is very much the British focus. What are the root causes? Let's not just sit there dealing with the immediate emergency. We need to deal with the root causes. We need to use our aid budgets, working with countries of origin to support those countries and tackle migration, particularly illegal migration, at source, be it economic causes, be it causes around politics and conflict. So that's something I think would be really welcomed in London. Another area, I think, something that the Pope re-emphasized today was the generosity shown by the countries neighboring Syria, which, of course, one of the great sources of migration at the moment because of the terrible conflict going on there. He talked about Lebanon and Jordan and countries in the front line like Turkey and Greece. There is actually going to be a major conference in London next month on the 4th of February, which Archbishop Paul Gallagher, the Holy See Secretary for Relations with States, is going to be attending, with the aim of looking precisely at this issue of how European countries and wealthier countries can do more to support those countries in the immediate vicinity of Syria, which have taken the brunt of the fallout from the conflict. So the Pope's highlighting of this issue is something that I think provides an appeal directly to that London conference taking place next month.
Interestingly, the Pope also said that many of the causes of migration could have been addressed some time ago, but that would mean rethinking, he said, our entrenched habits regarding, for example, the arms trade, energy, investments. Is this, do you think, an accusation that should make politicians back home think again about their medium and long-term priorities?
I think he's saying to us all, you know, let's look at these things in the round. It reminds me of what he was saying in Laudato Si about climate change, that there's no point in trying to tackle these issues, climate change, migration, whatever, as standalone issues. These are all linked, and they are linked to the way we organize the world. They're linked to issues around trade, around poverty, around conflict. And you can't just sort of pluck an issue like migration or climate change and treat it in an entirely separately defined box. You know, he was looking ahead to the World Humanitarian Summit in May this year, and I think he's saying to the international community, look, you've got to think more broadly, you've got to think more strategically, and you've got to be able to think beyond the immediate to the medium and longer term. And that's, I think, what he is hoping to see and expecting to see from the international community, and particularly, you know, the world's richer countries, as we look towards World Humanitarian Summit and other important meetings and taking forward the 2030 Sustainable Development Goals.
Finally, the Pope insists very strongly, doesn't he, on the need for dialogue and cooperation, particularly with the Muslim world at this present time, to help combat violence and fundamentalism. Do you think the UK government is doing enough to promote better interfaith relations and effective integration of the different communities?
I'd like to think we're doing what we can. I think United Kingdom is probably one of the global leaders, if only because of our own experience of multi-ethnic, multi-religious communities in the United Kingdom going back many years. We have, you know, had our successes and had our failures in dealing with that. But I think when one looks at the extraordinary work done in British cities, for example, by groups of faith leaders, often working with local or regional or sometimes even central government, not only to respond to emergencies, but also to try and tackle more deep-seated issues. I think it's something that we can say that we have a long and proud record of. Can we do better? I'm sure we can. And I think we need to look to do this more actively on the global stage as well. I think we're very much in favor of the work that the UN Secretary General is doing on extremism, for example, something that faces not just Islam, but all communities and all religions. You know, the Pope talks about this danger of fundamentalism and extremism and how the international community has to be able to respond effectively to it. The British government is going to continue to be very active in looking to deal with these issues, not just at home, but also internationally.
That was Britain's ambassador to the Holy See, Nigel Baker, speaking to Philippa Hitchin. Turning to the Jubilee of Mercy once again, on Tuesday, 12th of January, Pope Francis revealed his vision of mercy more in depth in a book by the title of The Name of God is Mercy. The book, which was released in 86 countries on that same date, is the result of a series of interviews with Vatican reporter Andrea Tornielli. Among the passages in the book, there's one I'd like to mention. It relates to one of his predecessors to the See of Peter, John Paul I, Albino Luciani. Pope Francis mentions in the book that there's a homily in which John Paul I said he'd been chosen because the Lord preferred that certain things not be engraved in bronze or marble, but in the dust, so that if the writing had remained, it would have been clear that the merit was only God's. I thought I'd bring you the exact words quoted by Pope Francis. They were pronounced by Pope John Paul I during his first weekly general audience of the faithful gathered around him on Wednesday, 6th of September, 1978. For the record, it was the first of four such encounters during his 33-day pontificate. Words read for us in an English translation by Sean Patrick Lovett. But get ready to listen to the voice of Pope John Paul I speaking in Italian.
Before God, the right position is that of Abraham, who said, "I am only dust and ashes before you, O Lord." We must feel small before God.
Davanti a Dio, la posizione giusta è quella di Abramo, che ha detto, "Sono soltanto polvere e cenere davanti a te, Signore." Giusto. Piccoli, dobbiamo sentirci davanti a Dio.
When I say, "Lord, I believe," I'm not ashamed to feel like a child before his mother. One believes in one's mother. I believe in the Lord, in what he has revealed to me. The commandments are a little more difficult to observe, but God gave them to us not to satisfy a whim, not in his own interest, but only in our interest.
I comandamenti sono un po' più difficili, qualche volta tanto difficili a osservare, ma ce li ha dati non per capriccio, non per suo interesse, bensì unicamente per interesse nostro.
That brings me up to time. I do hope you enjoyed this broadcast. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks so much for listening. This is Vatican Radio.
Laudetur Jesus Christus.